Well, let's get started. Welcome you to a school board meeting. We appreciate being Principal Lawfully letting us come to a school. And we will begin by having the Pledge of Allegiance.
I'm gonna have to stay down.
Okay.
You want me to help you or do you want to stay down?
I'll stay down.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have all board members here except for Nanette Tanner. We have Jared Black and Superintendent Citrus here. We will begin by going through the consent agenda, the warrants, the minutes for November 2013, and the financial reports for November 2013. Are there any questions on that discussion?
I move that we approve them.
I'll second it.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Personnel actions, names for approval.
We don't have any tonight, so no.
Approval of the 2014 school board meeting schedule. Are there any discussion on that?
I move that we approve it as it was presented to us.
I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay.
Could be a short meeting.
It might be. Let's go to the policy actions. The JP donations and gifts, the DIE district audit committee, the DM cash receipts, the JJE fundraising activities, and the DJC petty cash accounts.
Which is a rescinding.
Rescind that one, right. There's some new policies, revisions, and rescinding.
My first comment would be that I think it's kind of ironic that the acronym for the district audit committee is DIE.
I thought that was kind of interesting too.
That's good.
Because if you read that policy, it means more work for the board.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how much detail you want to go through, so maybe I'll give an overview of these policies and ask questions if you have any.
Okay.
Yeah.
But all of these policies stem from, or policy actions come from partially from Senate Bill 190 and partially from new rules that we received from the State Office of Education to update all of our purchasing and receiving and basically all of our financial policies. Okay. When districts have to comply with certain things. And so this is the start of that. There will be additional policies beyond these, but this is what we have available to present now. So the donations and gifts policy, well, let me go in order here. Okay. Donations and gifts, and I also apologize because the date adopted will actually be today if they are adopted.
Okay.
When I originally typed these up, I had it ready for October, but it took a while to get them ready to bring to board meeting.
Okay.
So we'll just move those dates to today. But the donations and gifts policy would cover all donations, gifts, and basically anything that anyone would want to gift to the school district. It allows those to go through the foundation. If individuals would like that for tax purposes, they can also be donated directly to schools. And there are limits in here as far as how much a donation can be in terms of who would need to approve that donation. With all of these policies, what we've done is taken, the state office came out with sample policies and said, your policy basically needs to cover all of these things. So we took that sample policy and adapted it to what we're doing and how it fits within our district without trying to take away anything, but to fit it in also with our terminology and how we do things. So that's how these policies were put together.
So
any
Jared,
questions? Yeah.
The amounts that can be approved by the superintendent and what needs to go to the board are in that suggested state policy?
They had suggested amounts. I went and talked to some principals and tried to figure out, and I don't think we adjusted them on this one. Let me look.
It's 250 to 5,000.
Yeah.
And then 5,000 to 20,000.
Okay.
And then 20 and above.
Yeah, I believe these are the ones that were recommended, but if not, it was a higher amount that was recommended and I lowered it a little bit.
Okay.
I didn't do any that were beyond what they had recommended, if that makes sense. And we can adjust those if the board would like to.
Fine, I just wondered where you came up with them.
Sometimes it's hard to know what the right amount is, so.
Who documents this one?
But I think what we see with these new policies is it's not a major change in what we do. It's just spelling out what we do in a lot more detail than what we have before.
Will each principal document any gifts that are given directly to the school, or does it have to come through the district office?
If they're given directly to the school?
Yeah.
Well, it would, if, depending on the dollar amount.
There, oh, it says principal right there, okay.
Yes, the first amount from 250 to 5,000, the principal would do that and document it. Next amount, well, anything above that, the district would document it.
Oh, no, that was it.
No, that's good.
All right, the next policy, which is a brand new policy, is District Audit Committee. And even though it's the shortest one, it probably has the most impact on the board. But what they're asking districts to do is to form what's called an audit committee. It would consist of two board members and one district administrator, which would essentially be John, Jed, or Gwen, whoever the board appoints. And then you would basically have responsibilities to review financial practices and policies, make sure that we bid for auditors every so often, review the financial reports like we do in board meeting with our auditors every year. Before that, we would also be sending you monthly summaries of our financial activities at the district and schools, and the committee would go over those as well. I don't know that the committee necessarily has to meet together every month to do that.
That was my
question. You may be able to just review those independently and sign off on them or something like that, but this is what the policy is intended to do, and we really don't have an option in this. It's just another step in compliance and fiscal accountability.
Right.
So, any questions on that?
Does the appointment go from January to January, or how does that work as an annual thing?
That would be up to the board to determine.
And it doesn't specify how often they meet? Does it say monthly? I missed that in it.
Well, some of the information needs to be reviewed monthly.
Okay.
I
was looking for that too.
That may not be in this particular policy, but a couple of the other policies refer to the District Audit Committee as needing to review the expenditures on a monthly basis.
Okay.
But again, you know, we send those to you. It's not.
Right. Right. So you could do that.
A little different, but we have that formal committee.
But at some point at a yearly, they would come and report.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think, you know, I think we get the policy in place and then work on formalizing, you know, everything that needs to be done over the next 2 or 3 months. Any other questions on that one?
No.
Okay. All right, cash receipts, self-explanatory. This just details all how we handle any and all cash receipts in the district from the schools at the district level, et cetera. And so, honestly, there's really not much in here at all that we don't do already, but it's spelling out the steps. I did have three principals review this to make sure on the school level it seemed appropriate.
Okay.
Principal Davis did, Principal Dawes, and Principal Johnson at Huntington. So they looked through those and had some good feedback. But basically the principle is you just, everything that you receipt has documentation attached to it, and you receipt it for a specific purpose. to see if there's anything else in particular in there. There's not on this one. I did attach the petty cash policy into this one.
Oh, okay.
And so that's why it's recommended to be rescinded.
Okay.
As the last one. That policy is, it's similar to what we previously had, but with some additional language. Not to exceed an amount of 500 for any petty cash account. Most of them that we have in the district are only 200. But in talking to the principals, they indicated that a limit of 500 would probably be good as a maximum. I feel okay with that. It's not, in the overall scheme of things, it's not a huge amount of money for what we spend. Any questions on that policy?
No.
Okay, fundraising activities. So we have a policy that addresses fundraising currently. So this is just a revision to that, in addition to, I guess. I tried to keep a lot of the original language that we've had in that policy because I think it's good. So we've just added in all the other stuff that the state office has said we need to have in the policy. A couple of things to probably point out. On the third page, we have the levels of what can be approved by a principal and a superintendent and the board. And in speaking with the principals, we put those at 2,500, 25 to 10,000, and then 10,000 and up. We can adjust those again if the board would like. But those are lower, if I'm remembering correctly, than what the sample policy suggested.
Probably for our school that size, it's probably appropriate.
Yeah, it's probably
that makes sense.
Yeah. Any of those big schools would have a lot of money.
I don't know if there's anything else super noteworthy in here. It's just establishing a lot of rules about what can and can't be done with fundraising, and there are some differences between secondary and elementary schools. In here, for example, on the fourth page, number five, secondary schools may not impose a sales quota or the like without administrative approval. That was at the request of Principal Davis.
Mm-hmm.
But we put elementary schools may not impose a sales quota, period. So there are some differences like that. And there were differences previously in the policy that we've had as well. Like in number six, the policy of the Board of Education, elementary schools shall not require, encourage, or promote door-to-door soliciting on the part of students.
Great.
They're prohibited for all students in elementary and middle schools, but it can occur in the high schools, but they have to go at least in twos to do that.
I think this is good to have to hand out for those that are fundraising.
And Superintendent, just so you know, I took out that one that you were.
That's what I was looking for.
About.
Okay.
There was one part in their sample policy that you may need to help me with this, but I believe it said that.
Well, I was trying to remember the specifics myself.
You could advertise.
Oh yeah, advertising of non-school sponsored fundraising activities, something like that. It had to do in there with
in school literature or something.
Yeah,
like
in
that.
School literature, which I said could include newsletters. My fear was that it would open it up to advertising, or you know, if a local grocery store decides to have a little fundraiser, but for the most part, all it did was promote their business rather than actual fundraising for nonprofit. I don't know that we want to use our school publications or newsletters to advertise for a fundraiser that would be a bigger benefit to the business than it would be to the actual nonprofit that was gaining or getting fundraising donations. And so I'm a little concerned about using or opening that up to other entities other than for school-related activities or school-related fundraising to be able to use our newsletters and bulletins and publication, so. Jared and I had the discussion and thought maybe that ought to be taken out of there so it doesn't open the door we don't want to open.
That's it?
Any questions on that one?
No.
Okay, and then the final policy is just that rescinding of the petty cash accounts.
Yeah.
Same with the cash receipts.
So those are the policies that we have to present and recommend their approval. With all of these new policies, we'll have to do a lot of training. My intent is to actually put together some type of a financial handbook in the district that in a more concise way summarizes what everyone needs to know.
That'd be great.
So that's down the road a little bit, but we will be following all of this up with training at the schools and making sure everybody understands what we need to be doing.
Well, I'll make a motion that we accept the policies as Jared has explained them to us.
I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor?
And rescind.
And rescind the one.
And rescind the one, right.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, let's go to the principal's report. Principal Lockley will give you the floor.
Okay, thank you. Just this year, before I start into what's happening in school, just an invitation to all of you, because sometimes I forget to send emails, we did have our Veterans Day program already in the past on the 12th, the day after Veterans Day. We made that an annual program that we think the veterans appreciate. We try to get a personal invitation, and the kids make cards for them, and we deliver them to all of the veterans in our area. So we have some come from other areas to come to our program, so we feel good about that. Just a Christmas program this year, we're going to hold it on December 19th. We have it at 9 o'clock in the morning and 7 in the evening. And then we have another program, kindergarten through third grade, we'll do that program. And then in February, toward the latter end, we have the 4th, 5th, and 6th grade will do that program. So we try to do the program twice a year so that all the students have a chance to do those kinds of things. You probably saw by looking at our school community council plan, our school improvement plan, we have basically 5 goals we're working on. Working with science, trying to improve scores in science, a math goal, a writing goal, a reading goal, and then we included a new one this year, fine arts goal, where we want to also give students an opportunity to develop skills in fine arts, whether it be music or art, those kinds of things, and so we've sent out a basically a talent survey to the community and to all the parents and school after that. We'll be using that throughout the year. But we think will be a good thing because sometimes we focus all on academics and forget about other things. And some members of the school community council felt we need to look at some of these things to improve. So that's just some information. This year we're also working with 4 R words. Still in the process of teachers and principal and everyone working together on that, and students. But we wanted to focus on 4 R words this year that have to do with citizenship. Those 4 words are, first of all, rights. Every student has a right to come and feel safe, feel like this is a place they can learn. Responsibility, because they have those rights, they also have a responsibility to protect the rights of other people and allow them to have those same rights. And then in doing that responsibility, they need to respect others. Respect becomes an important part, not only students, but also hopefully we can work toward more respect for teachers and staff. So, and then we wanted to focus on another area of recognition. Students, remember the first 3, then we want to recognize them for what they do. So we do try to do nearly every week, depending on if we have short weeks. We recognize 2 students from each classroom to try to do the work, follow the rules, respect other people, remember those other R's. And so we recognize them by calling them to the office, and they receive a token to say, reach out, usually have the picture, you may want to look at some of the students who have received it down in the hallway, not too far away. Inside the door and to the left, we have a super citizen, area that we like to post those pictures. So the teachers, I think, are working hard, we want to do what's best for the students, and, we appreciate the support of the board. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you for all you do and.
You didn't tell them that there was a copy for each of them, they just handed the whole pack.
Yeah, we were afraid you were gonna ask us to do something, and I don't have a lot of those talents.
I would like to do it, we're welcome to fill it out, and we can use you, so.
Well, thank you, and thank you for all you do, and thanks for your invitation, that's nice, we'd like to know when those things are and come if we can.
The 19th at 9 and.
Seven.
Seven? I came last spring, I don't remember that.
Okay, let's go to the business administrator's report, have anything, Jared?
Additional to that.
Okay, okay, superintendent's report.
Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't have a written report for you, I kinda left in a hurry yesterday, and so, but let me just talk, let me, the, actually, the Emery County Progress is kinda ahead of you, if you read it today, ahead of me, if you read it today.
I didn't read it.
Because I haven't, we haven't had a board meeting, since this came out and was announced, but it is in that paper. Again, it's Title I recognition.
Yeah.
I do have a letter from, Carl Wilson, who is the Director of Federal and Special Programs, and Ann White, who's the Title I Coordinator at State Office. Pleased to recognize Farron Elementary as the recipient of the 2013 Utah High Performing Title I Schools recognition. It's provided to Utah Title I schools that are able to demonstrate high levels of student achievement. And we hope that you will take the opportunity to share this notice of recognition with your local school board. They also, along with that, are eligible to have their name submitted to be selected as one of two recipients in the state to receive a $10,000 grant to enable them, a team, to attend the National Title I Conference in San Diego, California in February. Now, recognize that there are only two selected in the state, but they are eligible because they have been received this recognition over several consecutive years. Just want to commend Farron Elementary School and their faculty and staff and what they've been doing as a Title I school, and commend them for their success. So I'd like to recognize them in this meeting of the Board of Education. And again, there is an article in the Emery County Progress today, so.
That's good, that people need to know the good things that are going on.
It does list in there the other schools in the state who were recognized, so. Just some information items. We're trying to give schools plenty of warning that beginning July 1st, there are going to be some major changes to competitive food sales in schools. This would include our vending machines. It's actually referred to as the smart snacks in school standards. And it's major changes in vending, particularly at the secondary level. Most of our elementaries do not have vending machines available to students, but we do in our faculty rooms, and this does not apply to those. But basically, let me just give you an idea of what will not be able to be sold beginning July 1st. Candy chips, packaged snack cakes and pastries, fruit snacks, regular soda, whole milk, low-fat chocolate milk. Some of the things that may be sold, low-fat, reduced-fat cheese, whole grain rich chips, granola bars, nut mixes or trail mix, fresh fruits and vegetables, diet soda in high schools only. There will be no soda allowed in elementary or junior high school available to students during the school day in vending machines. 100% juice or low fat and skim white milk. Now there are other kinds of crackers and mixes that are low fat, low sugar, or no sugar that can be sold, but this will be a major change for at least particularly the high school level and junior high levels. These new standards will apply not only to vending machines, but any school stores that might be in any of our schools, a la carte, if they have a separate place as food service where they would sell items, a la carte. And it will apply only during school hours. So this will not impact concession stands at athletic events at night. Now it will if those athletic events are held during the regular school hours. Some of our junior highs do that.
Wow.
It will have an impact on any fundraising if the fundraising is done on the school campus.
That's a good question.
If it's done off school campus, then it doesn't impact that. So we're all happy that the chocolate candy bars will still be available as they come around. So we've started the process of trying to educate principals. I sent you some information on this. If you can follow the flow charts, more power to you. It does talk about, there are some charts in there about calories and fat content. And right now, calories for entrees is 350.
I don't know about that.
Less than or equal, greater than or equal to, and that will lower in
this
2000.
This might be the last chip you'll see.
In 2000.
It's a low-fat chip.
16, that will go down to 200 calories. So.
But you can sell cookie dough and stuff if they take it home to cook it. Now,
if it's taken home, well, yeah.
It's after hours. You can eat
what
anything
if you eat
after
at school?
Hours.
Eat the cookie dough at school.
Most kids leave the cookie dough.
Oh,
yeah, I would.
Especially if all they have is.
Who's in charge of policing that? I didn't see.
I'm sure that working with Janine and others, actually, child nutrition, they're the ones that are supposed to police this. Janine tells me she does not want to become the vending machine policeman, but I'm sure there will be audits, and it could, you know, any violations. Actually, if you're in violation, at least the first little while, they'll give you technical assistance and training.
They can help us with the flowcharts.
The flowcharts.
But beyond that, it could become expensive. This past year, or a year ago, or maybe it was a year before, Granite School District was found in violation of the current standard, which means that your vending machines are not to be on during school lunchtime if they're within so many feet of a cafeteria. And they were actually fined $10,000, of course, but that was one high school.
But they can get in their car and go get whatever they want.
Yeah, it just makes them all go down.
Anyway, there would be penalties for violation. These smart snacks and school nutrition standards take effect July 1st, 2014,
make you skinny.
Which means we'll need to revise our wellness policy and other policies that deal with vending machines. We'll also have to work with our vending contractors and make sure that we're in compliance, and hopefully they can interpret some of this. So just so that you're aware and you're kind of prepared for that. Also, you may be aware that it kind of started here at Cleveland Elementary with Melanie Miera, who's a custodian here, who had a great idea, contacted the National Guard and tried to get a list of the troops from our area who would be serving in both Carbon and Emory County away from home for Christmas. And we have been collecting small sugar-free usable items, you know, fruit snacks, candy kinds of things are individually wrapped, but also toiletries and toothpaste and lotion and shampoo and all razor, all kinds of things that can be boxed in smaller boxes. And then they have been collecting donations from businesses to pay for the postage and send those to the troops who are serving away from home during this Christmas season. I just want to commend her for her initiative. Should have had her here where she could hear this, but there are drop boxes in each of the schools. I know they're going to be collecting those tomorrow and Friday, and then start boxing them Friday because they have to be in the mail no later than the beginning of the next week. But just so you're aware of what's going on there, I think it was a great idea. have a request, or actually it's a voluntary, nothing from the US Department of Education is voluntary, but it does say voluntary survey. They want us to send them a copy of our school attendance boundaries. And if we can't find them, to create some. And to be honest with you, we have voting district boundaries for school boards, but we have not been able so far to find in any file, anywhere in the school district, attendance boundaries for individual schools. It's not hard to determine where Green River High School is and where Emory High School is, where Canyon View and Santa Fe are. Although there is some question about the Wilburg Wash area, and when you go down, you follow the Wash, I think you do, because if you go down the Lawrence Road, those on that side do not go to Santa Fe, they come to Canyon View, they come to Huntington, they don't go to Castledale. But if any of you as a board, in any of your papers at home, have ever had a attendance boundary, I'm almost ready to have each individual principal submit what their school boundaries are, just so they'll go find out, because I can't find anything. And I was 13 years as an elementary principal, and I thought I knew where the boundaries were, but I never ever saw anything in writing or on a map. So just so you know, we have till June, but we're going to be looking at that, and if we can create something that does not put a home in the wrong school and have somebody really angry, we'll probably bring it to the board for approval so that we'll have something permanent. But it's going to take
idea.
Some real work. If you have any ideas of where that might be found, it's not, we don't think the county commission or county clerk has it, because it's really a school board's prerogative to set those school attendance boundaries. Mm-hmm. The county commission sets the voting district for school board, but
I don't remember ever seeing anything like that before.
And you've
never even heard of it.
Been here a long time on the board.
Marie,
you haven't either, right?
No.
I've never even
so
heard of such a thing.
So it's a voluntary survey. If we get frustrated, we might ignore it. But if we can do it, we'll do it, because it'd be good to have.
We could ignore it. And then if they say anything, we'll say, well, part of voluntary, don't you understand?
The problem that I can see being created, it does impact transportation issues.
It does.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you get the wrong home and the wrong boundary, they may not qualify for transportation, mm-hmm. but if they go to the other school, they would, because they're a mile and a half or 2 miles away.
It
so
seem like
it's a matter of
to write the boundaries,
qualifying.
So.
Well,
no,
we've got to sit down with our transportation department and work on
that
too. I'm just making you aware that there's, we did receive that, and it's a problem to us. Other than that, it's a reminder of the Utah School Boards Convention in January, and you have that information. So unless you have questions on me, I did send you a new copy of the calendar, because I did find that some of the term ending dates were duplicated from one year to the next, and I had to adjust that. I didn't change the calendar, it's just the date the term ended. So I sent you a new copy. Other than that, I don't think I have anything else.
Okay, thank you. Are there any public comments? Okay, I think we have some closed meeting items.
We have a couple of student discipline issues that we need to do in closed session, and also personnel.
I move we go into closed session for stated purposes.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.